Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere with your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Just want to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed coming to you over the past several years with Christ the King Redemptive Ministries broadcast through Kingdom Lifestyles with my husband, Apostle McQueen, and now Prophetic Atmosphere. Just want to send blessings to all of you who have supported this ministry over the years. We really appreciate you all. We say God bless you, and we pray, continuously pray, that this ministry, amen, is bringing you into your kingdom assignment, bringing you into maturity in the things of God, and that you are completing and fulfilling the destiny and the will that God has upon your life. Speaking of that, let's talk about the announcements this evening. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's Tuesdays at 7 and Saturdays at 10:30. On Thursday nights, join me 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, this is also our website. We do invite you to visit our website and learn more about us and this ministry. We also invite you to become a prayer and a vision partner with this ministry. Speaking with God, talking to Him, and how you can help us, amen, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping us to spread His message around the world. Amen. Also, people of God, want to let you know that we have sons and daughters that have submitted to our covering, that God has given us the grace to cover. They, too, also need your financial support, and prayers as well, helping them spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to continuously make an impact, amen, in the kingdom of God. Now, with all that said, I want to send you a personal invite, and I want to invite each and every one of you, male and female, to my women's conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny. This year's theme, Don't Abort Your Assignment. It's being held at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, located at 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Popo, Florida. We are going to have a powerful time. That's October 18th and 19th of this year, 2013. Powerful men and women of God that will be bringing the unadulterated word. I'm expecting signs, wonders, and miracles to take place. I'm expecting the atmosphere to change. I'm expecting people's lives to be changed in an instant. I'm expecting ministries to be birthed. I'm expecting God's hunger, amen, to be renewed in the lives of his people. I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it. And you know what? When you have a great expectation, and as the songwriter says, in the atmosphere of faith, miracles do take place. And I'm expecting your miracle on those days, the 18th and the 19th. We have minstrels that are becoming forth, powerful praise and worship. Look and expect for your life to be changed. Amen? Amen. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, Don't Abort Your Assignment, being held at or hosted at the Church of Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. Visit us on our Facebook pages, Women of Prophetic Destiny or Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, where you can check out our flyers and learn and read your prayer requests and your praise reports as well. And all the information that I just introduced to you here, you'll see it there on our Facebook pages. Also, go not only the Facebook page, but go to www.ctkr.org. We would like you to register. Click on the WOPD tab. Register. It's free and no cost to you. Want to see you there. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. Amen and amen. Now, people of God, let us pray and then get right into this word. Amen. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we glorify you. We thank you. We praise you. You are the worthy one to be worshipped. You are the worthy one to be praised, Lord. I thank you and I bless your holy name once again to come before your people and minister your word. Father, I decrease and I ask that you would increase. Step forward today. Minister to your people as you know how. You know the needs of each and every one tonight. Even now, God, I ask that even those who will join us later in the archives, God, let this word tonight be a word that will change lives, a word that will challenge, a word that will shift, a word that will shake. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking now that your word will come forth in might and in power in the name of Jesus. Father, bring clarity this evening for your people. Father, any sin that is in our lives, we repent right now. We ask that you will wash us and cleanse us in your blood. Make us whole. Make us right. Make us righteous in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give your name all praise, all glory, all honor. We thank you. We praise you and we magnify your most holy name. You are worthy of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tonight, people of God, we are continuing on with the theme of last week. We've been talking about Christian character, and I'm still continuing on in that series. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has not released me to preach anything else. But not only that, I also believe that it is just a very important and vital thing that needs to be taught in the life of the Christian, is that your character counts. I'm going to say that again. Your character does count. If you have been saved, as we say, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and the mighty precious blood, you know, baptized in the fire and running with Jesus, been a long time and can't look back, you know, the cliches that we always say. But one thing I do know, amen, is that when you know God and God knows you, that people ought to recognize and see his presence and see his character operating in your life. There should be, no, there must be a difference, amen. There must be a difference versus the world's idea of what a Christian character is and what we, the church, assume what Christian character is. And everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a perception. But the only perception and the only opinion that matters when it comes to these things is the Word of God. And for many people, it challenges them because we have been so used to living and doing and acting and responding in a certain way for so many years that it becomes normal, and we try to take the word and bend it to our likes and our dislikes. And what I'm comfortable with, I try to pull a scripture out for just that purpose. But the word of God stands sure and cannot bend and cannot be shifted, shaken, or deterred, or rearranged, amen, just because we don't like what it says. It is a guide. It is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. Amen. Anything that you want to know about being living in Christianity and the, I don't want to call it rules and regulations, but learning a new lifestyle, learning a new way of living, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is to be able to get into his word and find out, amen, what the Spirit is truly saying, what he is requiring, what his mandate is, amen, and then make it your decision to follow those mandates. As you follow those mandates, people of God, then you will begin to start seeing the changes that you're looking for. Too often, amen, we want change on our terms. We want change without really being able to, or I should say, we want change with compromise. The word of God is the word of God, plain and sure. And the only way that we're going to be able to step out of the old and walk into the new is that we have to allow this word to find us where we are, accept where we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then use the word of God to apply to the areas of our life that need to be changed, the areas of our life the Holy Spirit shines a light on and says, you know what, you need to work on that right there, and let him do the work on the inside of us. Donna Lawrence wrote a song a couple years ago and said, let the word do the work. And most oftentimes, amen, people of God, we become frustrated because we're trying to do the work that only the word can do. And the thing about some of us is that we want the microwave Christianity. We want the microwave God, that when I ask for something, put it in for 1 minute, do, beep, and then here it is right now. Well, character, amen, any type of character is forged in the wilderness, is forged in tough times. You don't know who you are until you begin to go through some things. Stuff that will challenge you, things that will keep you up at night, when your back is up against the wall, when people begin to try to assassinate you, assassinate your character, assassinate your family, when things start really touching personal areas of your life around you, losing your job, losing your home, things start falling apart. Then we begin to see who you really are. And for many of us, everything is fine as long as it is going our way. But the moment that the trying comes, the moment that the testing comes, the moment that the shaking and the shifting comes, that's when you begin to see who people really are up close and personal. That's where we begin to see, is that word really in your belly, as the old folks used to say. That's where we really begin to see, amen, if you truly believe in the God that you say that you know. Philippians 2 and 12 starts off like this, reading from the New King James Version. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, listen now, who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, as if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice of on the sacrifice and service of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. And we'll just stop right there, and the word of the Lord is blessed. He talks here, the writer talks here about being a light bearer. He says, listen, as you have always, therefore, my beloved, talking to us, this people, the Christian, is not talking to the one that's unsaved, he's talking to the Christian now. You, me, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Philippians 1:5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. My question, amen, if you've been saved any length of time, has your obedience increased? Has your obedience to God increased? Has your obedience to the Word of God increased? Or are you still making excuses as to why you can't move in the direction that God has called you to? Are you still making excuses, as my husband likes to say, for bad behavior? I know we don't like it. I don't like it. But it's the truth anyhow. Many of us are making excuses to remain in the same situation. Because for some of us, the reality is we like where we are. We like the dirt. We like the mess. We like the drama. We like the chaos. But yet we tell everybody else, I don't know how, I don't know why, I can't understand. But then when someone comes to you and says, listen, this is the word of God. The word of God says A, B, and C. And the minute they try to tell you the word of God, there's always an excuse as to the reason why it will not work. As you have always obeyed, not in the present only, but now much more in the absence. So you go to church on Wednesday, you go to church on Thursday, you go to church on Saturday, whatever day you went to the revival, you received all the word, folks laid hands on you, prophetic word has come forth, you read the Bible, the word jumped out at you, the Holy Ghost spoke to you, amen, talking about how great and grand and wonderful you're going to be. And after all of this, my question tonight still remains, has your obedience to him increase? Has your obedience to the word increase? Not in the presence, not around the people who know you, not when you're just there on assignment on the day that you're supposed to serve on the usher board, or on the day you're supposed to serve on the deacon board, or serve on the altar workers board, or whatever, serve the pastor's board, not just around the saints, but what happens, amen, in their absence? What happens when we no longer see you? What happened? Are you reading your word every day? Are you speaking after God every day? Are you praying every day? Are you looking to please him every day? When you wake up in the morning, is he on your mind? What's going on? Has your fellowship with him increased or decreased? He said, listen, we have to work out, but now, what's more in my absence, work out your own soul, your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you can't live for nobody else but you and God. You can't live for the bishop. You can't live for the apostle. You can't live for the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist. You can't live for mama, you can't live for grandmama, uncle, cousin, and them. You can't live for nobody else. When it's all said and done, you got to work out your own soul salvation with fear, or work out your own salvation, excuse me, with fear and tremble. Because many of us are trying to get other people to live and operate at a place that we're not ourselves. Hmm. I was in a conversation this week with a couple of coworkers, and I realized that the person that is in the position of authority who sets the rules for everyone else is always found not obeying or operating from the same rules that they've set. And when you question, I thought you said A, B, and C. When you question them, when you see something that's not lining up with the rule that they have set, they always have a meaning or excuse as to the reason why it doesn't apply to them. And that's where many of us are in the body of Christ, is that we'll lay the rules out for everybody else, but when we're find lacking in an area and someone challenges us, then we want to find a reason or an excuse for why this time it doesn't apply to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm talking to you too. Listen, we use things or we use scriptures to hold other people in a place that we think they should be held. The Bible says this in John 6:27, says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon you. Do not labor for the food which perishes. Go labor by what is only temporary. Don't put your focus and your time and your energy and your strength, amen, in things that are only temporary. And I think, people of God, that's where many of us have lost focus, because we're striving for something that's temporary or temporal instead of something that's everlasting. And the only thing that's everlasting is Jesus Christ. The only thing that's everlasting is heaven, and making sure that we find our way to get there in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The only thing that's everlasting is making sure that we complete the assignment. You want to hear me say that until he changes my message. The assignment that he has on our lives. And until we fully walk that out, until we first of all accept what he says for us, I'm going to say that one more time, until we truly accept what he says for us, which means for some of us, we need to go back to what was the first word that God spoke. Oftentimes through the years, because of what he has spoken to us, we didn't like what he said. So there we try to seek out and seek after others who would change his message to something that was more palatable and more tasteful and more desirable for us to hear and accept and do. And so we strove after, hard after that, labored after that. Something that was temporal, something that was cute, something that tried to bring us notoriety. But when you decide to answer the true call and begin to walk it out, walk out his purpose in your life, then you will begin to, you begin to walk in hard places. You begin to walk in difficult places. You begin to climb up mountains and go down through valleys. And for some, they don't want that type of lifestyle because they like the lifestyle of comfort and ease. He said, listen, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. John 6:29 says, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent him. Therefore, going to 2 Peter 1 and 10, which I believe hits it right on the head. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will not stumble. And we have too many people stumbling. Some are stumbling because they just refuse to walk into what God has called them to do. Some are stumbling because they love God with all their heart, but they're following after people who refuse to do what God called them for originally. And then some are stumbling because they're trying to find their way, but because someone hurt them, they backed off of everything that had to do with Christianity and God altogether, and they're trying to hew out a pathway for themselves. People of God, I don't want to be one that causes others to stumble. I don't want to be one that is deceived, deceiving, and yet being deceived. My prayer has always been for the past 20-some years, God, do not let me be deceived, nor let me deceive others. Nothing's worse than believing in a lie, and everyone else around you know it's a lie. But you. Everybody else sees, and I'm going to take this from a movie I saw years ago, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Everyone else sees the mendacity that's surrounding you, but you. Therefore, my beloved, back in verse 12, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, we got to get a true revelation. It's simple, but we make it hard. And that is this. It is God who gives us the ability to obey his will. You can't obey his will on your own. You can't work out this. You can't even remain saved for 5 seconds on your own without the help of the Holy Ghost, without the help of the Father. You can't do it because everything that is in the flesh, everything that is of the flesh, desires and purposes and its old design is to do its own thing when it wants to, say what it wants to, respond when it wants to. And so it is him, the Father, who works in you to will, to both will, not only have a desire to live for him and to do what he's called you to do, but he's also put in you the obedience portion so that you can carry it out what he has called you to do. For his, not your own, not so you can get the glory, not so you can wave your banner in the air. Not so you can get on national television talking about who I am. None of that. He said, listen, this whole thing that I put upon you, he said, it is mine for my good pleasure, for his good pleasure. So people of God, we can't get jealous of what other folks are doing. We can't get jealous of those who God lifts up. That's what his will and his purpose for their life is. So if he's called this woman of God or man of God to pastor a church that has 30,000 people, you can't get upset if he only called you to pastor the 10. You got to be faithful over the 10, just as they're faithful over the 30,000. The ultimate goal or the bottom line at the end of the day is that they're still God's people. And where our flesh has taken over is that we start believing that these are my folks. They're not really your folks. Because let's face it, people have their own mind and purpose. God may call them to you, but it's still up to that man or that woman to submit to you. And you can use all the tricks you want in the book. If they don't want to submit to you as their covering, they're not going to do it. And you can be preaching and prophesying in complete accuracy. But if they have in their heart or made up in their mind that they want to go down the street, because down the street I can be comfortable, down the street they have this one little program I like to go to. If down the street is where they want to be, then down the street they go. And we have to understand as leaders is that we can't take this stuff personally. I think for many of us, and this is Prophetess talking, I think for many of us as leaders, while we end up, we love God, we love his people, but we end up hurt and we have old hurts and get gangrene set in, is because we kind of start taking ownership of folk. And we start feeling that these people belong. You owe me. No one owes you anything. We owe God everything. Yes, you do. Your job is to do. Your job is to serve, to be a servant. But where we get it confused, or where we start getting personal with it, is because, and I understand, you share with the people. You give your heart to them. You open up your home to them. You break, as I said, you break bread with folks. That's why we have churches. My husband says churches are built up on relationships. You start sharing, they start sharing. You cry a little, you love a little, the whole thing. You start building a family. And it hurts when we see family leave for no unapparent reason. But the one thing we also have to understand as leaders, amen, is that sometimes God will send sheep to come in for just a small period of time. And while you have them there at that time, you pour everything you got into them. Even if they don't accept it, they'll never be able to say that they never received what they're supposed to receive. Because in the end, if they don't get the lesson there, and if God is trying to teach them, they may get the lesson in the next place. But you have to know. You can't take it personal. And that's where, amen, we have to guard ourselves. Not guard ourselves to the point where I'm not letting nobody get close. Ain't nobody getting up in here because they ain't hurting me no more like that. I don't know what you're talking about. That ain't never going to happen. No, because you're on assignment. He says it right here. It is God who works in you both to will and to do. Why? For his good pleasure. What for? For his good pleasure. How come? For his good pleasure. So when we get a full revelation of what we're really doing this for and who we're really doing this for, then it won't become an issue when people come and go, because you understand your divine assignment. Everybody didn't stay with Jesus. Everybody that Jesus touched, they didn't stay and follow him. But yet, because of his mandate and assignment that was on his life, he still ministered. He was still effective in his ministry. But what some of us do, we hold back. They hurt me. God, I know them. I know that whole family. They acted crazy. I'm not about to minister. And we'll hold the gift hostage. We try anyway. We try to hold people we try to hold giving them what God has for them, thinking that we're punishing them in some kind of way. You don't have a right. I don't have a right. None of us have a right. You still must go forth and minister. Why? John 3 and 34. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. All the way to the cross, Jesus was still ministering. I'm going to leave that alone because I can feel it all in the spirit. Like, you need to be quiet right here. So I'm going to let that go for a second. So let's go to verse 14, shall we? Do all things without complaining. You hear that? And disputing. You see that? That you may become blameless and harmless, what? Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do all things, everything, without complaining. Why we got to fast this week? Every time you turn around, pastor talking about you need to fast. Maybe he needs to fast. Maybe God's dealing with him. Do all things. They asked me to stay over work. This is the third time this week. They always want to keep skipping over so-and-so. Do all things. Because maybe you don't know that so-and-so is dealing with some personal family issues. Without complaining. Instead of 5, we need you to produce 10. Why I got to produce 10? Where is it in my job description saying I got to produce 10? Where is it in my job description that say that I got to get up here and do this because pastor says so-and-so? Who said I got to listen to? Do you understand what I'm saying, people, about do all things, not just in the church. Not just on our job. But for those of us who are in a relationship, who are married, we got to do all things without the complaining and the disputing. Don't ask me why I'm going here, but I'm going here anyway because I feel led. Wives, husbands, let me talk for the wives for a minute. Wives, especially y'all, that always got something to say. No one's saying that you're not smart. No one is saying that you're not intelligent. No one is saying that you don't have any authority. But for those of us who are married, we have to give honor and we have to respect the man of the house. You said I do to this man. So we have to honor. We're not going to agree with everything. It is what it is. You're not going to do. You got two different people who think differently, who feel differently. But ultimately, the decision in the home is left up to the spouse, the husband. Most of the time, we want to, I know they used to use the word nag, but we think we're going to stand up and talk somebody down and fast talk folks with the complaining and disputing. If I complain about it long enough, then he'll do what I want him to do. If I fight it long enough, if I drag my feet long enough, then he's going to do what I want him to do. And if he don't do that, then I'm going to take it to the next extreme. And what we fail to realize, women of God, is that when we fight and fuss like that in the home, and you may not say, well, Prophetess, I don't lift my voice at all. No, you don't lift your voice up, but you make sure everything else is shut down in the home until you get your way. Ain't nothing up in here moving until I say so. He don't know who he dealing with. All I got to do is make one phone call over here and all this mess gets shut down. And what you don't fail to, and what you fail to realize is that when it's like that in the home, that same spirit is in the church. your other house. Oh, yeah, the church house. That is your other home. There's your home, and then there's the church home. You just have more people living in the church home. But the reality is, if it's tore up at the main house, it's going to be tore up at the church house. And you get to the church house talking about, I don't understand why these people are acting crazy. I don't understand. Every time you ask them something, they always got backlit. They always flipping and flapping at the mouth. What goes on in the house? All we have to do is reverse the mirror, and we see whatever's done there, the opposite. Same back on the other end. We'll see it reflected on the other side. And I didn't understand that until I had to go through that. When God took me through that lesson years ago, when my husband and I first started our ministry over 10 years ago, I didn't understand that what I planted, what was going on in my home, reflected, mirrored back at me in my church home. And I guarantee for some of us, you're wondering, well, what the heck is going on? If you go and get it right at the home and trust. Most of the time it's because we as women don't trust who God has given us. We don't trust. And the same way goes for if it's a man and the wife is a pastor. Same thing. You got to be able to flip that role and trust. He's got to trust you to be an authority in the church house. And at the same time, you got to trust him to be an authority at the house. It goes both ways. It's the ebb and tide. It goes both ways. Without complaining and disputing. Without grumbling. We'll take it even there further. Without grumbling. Without arguing. Without trying to fight over things. He said that you may become blameless. The Bible said, where do these wars come from? They come from our evil desires. No one's going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to live. And we go on and on. And here's the interesting thing. This is how the enemy tricks us. And this is how we trick ourselves. We'll sit here and say, I love God. I obey him. I follow you all the way. Jesus, I'll go with you all the way. But yet we cannot trust the person that God has placed in authority over us, the one that God has given the power to lead us. Can't trust them. Don't believe in them. Don't believe in the God in them. But we say we love him. The Bible says, bless those who believe and have not seen. So you can't tell me that you're following God and you can't follow the man or the woman of God that God has placed in your life to lead you into his righteousness, his truth, into kingdom lessons. If you can't trust them who you can see, you don't believe him who you cannot see. I don't care what you say. You can't convince me of that thing. You just can't. You can't. Because God is a God of order. He does things in decency and in order. Now, nobody's saying follow someone who is opposite of what the word is. We're not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about men and women of God who are truly ordained and who hear from God and are seeking after him and have a heart after him. Nobody is perfect. No one's sitting up here saying that we are. But we can't continue to obey in people's presence, but not in the absence, not in our absences. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, or innocent, children of God, without fault. Matthew 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, let your character, the character of Christ, let it shine before them. Let them see a difference in you versus everybody else. Let them see him through you, that they may see his good works and glorify him. In other words, when people see you, they should be saying, what is it about you that draws me to you? What is it about you that you have such a peaceful life? I've seen you go through situations. I've seen people treat you disrespectfully, and yet you still have a smile on your face. Yet you still laugh. Yet you still rejoice with other folks. Yet you still, what is it? My God. He said, nor we're not supposed to take a light or a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. If you are that light, if God has placed you in a dark hole somewhere, then you are that light in the hole for the whole house. Listen, when you understand your purpose, when you understand who God has called you to be, and when he places you somewhere, things cannot happen when you are in that place. Certain things that would happen can't happen because of his anointing and his hand upon you. I've been at places, I've worked at places, where as long as I was there, things may have went on a little crazy, but it was always worse somewhere else. There was always a balance. Things that probably should have went left never went left. But the minute, I'm not telling you what I heard somebody say, I'm telling you what I know for myself. But the minute that God moved me from that assignment and moved me somewhere else, all kinds of things went sideways. Folks were getting laid off. People were getting fired. Businesses shut down. They know departments were like, we no longer need that. We don't let that go. But while I was there, I was that light. I was that lamp. And for many of you, you're that light and that lamp. And instead, you're complaining and disputing of where you are. They don't understand. I ain't getting paid nothing. I'm doing it. But thank God you have a job. It's sometimes it's not about trying to get to that next place. It's about the assignment that's happening right where you are. Ministry happens all around you every day. It's just, can you see it? Do you recognize it? Well, Prophet, I can't be sitting up here talking about Jesus every day, all day. Well, nobody's telling you to stand on a crate and preach Jesus to the people. However, you can show love through your deeds. You can show love and kindness through your actions. A handshake, a hug, a kind word, paying for somebody's lunch. You understand? There's always methods and ways to show Christ. And then at times you have that conversation. He'll make a way for you. But you got to stop complaining. And for some, you could have been gone a long time ago. But because of the complaining and disputing, you're still there. Until you catch the lesson and pass the test, then you move on. He said, listen, we need to be blameless, and we all need to work on that. And I mean all of us. And we need to be innocent. We must continue to work on that. Children of God without fault. We need to be striving in that direction, people of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Remember, God has put the word of life inside of you. And your job, I don't want to preach to nobody. You ain't got to get up there, like I said, on a crate and try to preach through a bullhorn. But you need to understand this right here, is that he has put the word of life in you. And it is your responsibility to speak the word of life to someone else. If you don't hear nothing I've said since 2010, I need you to hear this tonight. You need to recognize that God has put his word of life on the inside of you. And it's your responsibility, your duty as a Christian, as a man or woman of God, whether you pastor or brother, sister or prophetess or apostle, it is your job to speak the word of life and to pour his life inside of someone else, to point them to Christ. Point them in the direction, not so that they can serve you, so that they can serve the one, Christ, Jesus Christ, God the Father, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That's what our pastors, that's what our leaders, our bishops, our apostles, our prophets, our pastors, teachers, all of those, the fivefold who God has placed here, some that he has placed here, that we may not run or that our labor is not in vain. Why? Because we begin to see the fruit of our labor. We begin to see things begin to manifest. We begin to see Christ's character formed in you. We begin to see the growth, the spiritual growth. And that's why he says, excuse me, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice, as we are being made spectacles for you, or being made spectacles to the world, so that people may know him, hallelujah, that people may look to him, huh? And the service, oh yes, as I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad. And rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Life, true life, comes from God. God has carefully and meticulously created every last one of us. He also created life to be enjoyed. Not so enjoyed to the maximum where he's the least thing, that we are irresponsible, that we just fall into just great sin and debauchery and everything else. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that kind. But yet, at the same time, because you are saved does not mean you need to be so deep and then you become mean and crass and unenjoyable. When people have Christ in their life, there's just a love that just needs to, that just radiates out of them. When people are comfortable in who they are, when people are relaxed in who they are, and they enjoy just living, not trying to be greater than, not trying to be less than, but when they understand the lane that they're supposed to be residing in, they become effective, they know where their strengths are, they know where their weaknesses are, and they enjoy that place. Life in Christ is meant to be enjoyed. Yes, there's tests. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's tribulation. But every time that your trust in him should go deeper, your faith in him should grow stronger, your trust and belief in him should be wider, greater. He came. Christ came to give us abundant life. And we must, somebody say that with me, I must. we must, you and I must live our lives worthy of the Christian call. If God has, in other words, if the Father has put a mandate and a mantle on your life to preach or teach the gospel, then it is your responsibility, your duty, your assignment, your mandate, your trust, your food, your mission, your vision, your values. You must live worthy of your calling. Whether you're on the mountain, in the valley, or underneath it, our lives should honor God. Colossians 3:17 says this. And my husband read it last week, and this would be a good place to end, actually. And whatever you do, in words or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever, as they say in the street, whatever. Whatever you do, whether that's greeting them when they come in the door of the church, or scrubbing the toilets on Saturday, whether it's reaching out and calling those, the visitors, or praying every Tuesday over in the corner when you have Bible study or prayer time. Whatever we do, whether it's on the job, whatever we do, people of God, whether it's seen or whether it's unseen, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, you are trying to help us to live as Christians, and you're also trying to help us to strengthen our character in you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I ask, Father, that you would just let this, these words that have come forth tonight, let the seeds of life begin to just be deposited in our ground and bring up a mighty harvest. God, do not seal these words on the inside of us. Do not let us forget what we have heard on tonight. Challenge us, shift and shake us, God, until your will, until we are not only obeying in your in the people's presence, but much more in folks' absences, that we will start walking in obedience unto you and your will and your purpose for our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Father, those that are not saved right now, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Change me now. I give it all to you. Take away my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me in from my unrighteousness and make me whole, and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries pray that you will find a Bible-believing teaching church and that they will train you and teach you how to operate and live in this kingdom lifestyle. Listen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org, amen, where you can learn more about us. And also, please, I personally invite you once again to join me October 18th and 19th, 2013 for Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Don't abort your assignment, located at 213 Stone Street, Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen. I love each and every one of you. And please join me again Thursday night at 7 p.m. for another moment of prophetic atmosphere. God bless.